Hey guys, this is Bad Star, artist from Batgirl, and I'm close personal friends with the Corners.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another scintillating episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that would rather do this podcast than go see The Who. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
And listen, we are fresh off the heels of Comic-Con 2017. That's San Diego Comic-Con. Stacy, say hi again. I didn't have your mic plugged in, and we're not redoing the open.
You bastard.
I know, right? I am the worst. But what wasn't the worst was San Diego Comic-Con. Now, we're going to catch up with our good buddy Gavin from Tardy's Collector's Corner next week to get his experience, get kind of what the feel was at the con. We just wanted to react to the massive amount of trailers that came out. I mean, we're not even going to do the announcements this week. I mean, sure, Young Justice Season 3, kind of a big deal, kind of made my pants quiver. Some great new series announced from Marvel and DC, including Marvel's first ever Comixology-only series from our good friend, Kari Andrews. Congrats, Kari. Can't wait to read Iron Fists. It's a plural. There's multiple Iron Fists. It's hard to say. But I'm trying to get my point across. We're going to go through what we thought were some of the top trailers that came out of San Diego Comic-Con 2017. No, we're not going to hit all of them. This isn't that long of a show. But let's start with something, John, that you brought up months ago. The Netflix blockbuster script that they paid a ton of money for from director David Ayers. The film is called Bright. And Netflix is kind of billing it as their first real blockbuster Netflix original film. It stars Will Smith and Joel Edgerton, who's playing an orc.
Orcish type looking guy. Creature that speaks English.
Yeah, everyone speaks English, by the way. Let's just get that weird
out of the way. It's convenient, right?
Yeah, well, it's convenient, and then you don't have to come up with a plot device for how they all understand each other. The basic concept of this seems to be two cops played by Smith and Edgerton, one a human, one an orc that speaks English.
You gotta say that because otherwise it'd be like freaking and then fucking sound or closed captions. Nobody wants that.
Nobody likes to read. I like reading my movies, but that's just me. The comparisons that people were giving before this trailer came out where it's a combination of David Ayer's previous film, End of Watch, and Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. John, I don't know if you saw End of Watch. I know I did see little bits of it. It got a bit too it got a bit too intense for me. It's like a found footage kind of thing.
I did not see End of Watch, but I have seen Fury,
which is another David Ayer's film.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, but then Suicide Squad wasn't.
So it's like a Fury sandwich was good, but the bread was bad, but the insides were good.
This looks interesting, and I'll watch it because I already have Netflix. But I don't know that I'm excited about it. Like, a lot of people are like, what? This looks crazy cool. But the basic concept in the trailer is that they find an elf of some sort that has a magic wand, and they talk about the magic wand like it's a wish-granting nuclear bomb.
More or less. And then they basically got to protect her, or
are they protecting her, or are they protecting the wand?
I feel like they're protecting her and the wand, maybe?
I mean, again, I'm not overly excited about this, but I don't think it looks terrible.
I don't think it looks bad.
I have to agree. I don't think it looks... When John told me about it and I saw Will Smith's name, I was like, son of a bitch.
I do not want another Will Smith movie. That's what I said. I was like, just watch the trailer because Drew and I watched it last night and we were like, it doesn't look terrible. And it doesn't actually look terrible.
I'd watch it. I don't know if it's The Mummy with Tom Cruise, but bad it's not even worth pirating.
Right. Look, The Mummy with Tom Cruise just looks terrible, but this looks like it's interesting. I don't know if it's going to accomplish what Netflix wants to accomplish, though, which is to bring in new subscribers. People who are going to buy Netflix just to see this movie.
So the idea is to change the model of people renting movies from home.
To paying, you know, the $9 for a month of Netflix, and then you've rented a month of movies. You know, that's something that Netflix, and I think we talked about it on this podcast before, I don't know how recently, that Netflix and Hulu are going to have to find ways to create new subscribers. Because you've got all the early adopters. And Hulu is now adding the live TV element.
And HBO.
And HBO.
So they're basically, I feel like a lot of companies are banding together to basically eliminate cable. But I guess my big question for this Bright movie, after they commit $90 million for this thing, is how are they going to judge a box office like breakdown of it? How are they going to judge if this movie did what it needed to do to make money? How is it going to make money?
I think it's gonna be based on number of new subscriptions around the time when this comes out.
And then I don't know how that's gonna work for them. Like you said earlier, I don't see it.
No, and I agree with you. I think this may end up being a one shot, and they'll go back to making incredibly great television series. Another movie they took a big risk on, and John, you and I watched a piece of footage from it. Comes out actually August 25th. On Netflix is the Netflix basically whitewashing adaptation of Death Note.
See, but that is very interesting to me. I think that looks really good.
I do too. I think that looks incredible. The show itself is legitimately incredible. Death Note, the anime, and you know, Netflix caught a lot of heat for having Nat Wolff as the star of it and Willem Dafoe playing the Shinigami, the god of death, Ryuk. It looks incredible. Willem Dafoe is legitimately terrifying looking in this movie as an 8-foot demon of death.
Willem Dafoe is terrifying looking outside of the movie.
It's
right.
That smile.
Oh, it is.
No.
Oh.
Creepy-ass smile.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at a picture of the two side by side, like the hand-drawn picture of Ryuk, it kind of looks like Willem Dafoe to begin with. So, again, Netflix taking risks, doing big things, and I got to compliment them for that. I like risks on original things. Stacy just saw.
Oh my
you just
god!
See, yeah, yeah.
Like it's
that
him.
Is so creepy. Like,
it's him. It's really, really creepy.
Gods of death love apples. Just keep that in mind.
Oh my god, that was so freaking creepy.
Good thing Ren ate my apple today.
Yeah, she's a god of death. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
all right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Star Trek Discovery. I know we aren't the biggest Trekkies, and whatever we say is going to upset Greg's delicate sensibilities about what Star Trek is supposed to be. But I like this trailer. I thought this trailer was interesting. I haven't liked the amount of issues that Star Trek has been running through. You know? Like
what are you talking about?
The Star Trek Discovery reboot.
Ah.
There's been some things that people have had some issues with, some things people have taken issue with. You know? The timeline seems weird. I liked the trailer, though. I liked the trailer. I thought it was interesting. I think the production value looks great. And I'm kind of glad it's at CBS and not like the CW. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I like that it has a full budget.
And it's not geared towards
teenagers.
Sexy scenes in there.
What?
The teens who
what
can't
are you talking
keep
about?
It in their
Arrow,
pants.
Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and probably Black Lightning. What are you talking? You crazy. Girl, you crazy. But it didn't do anything to make me more interested in the show, and I think that's what a good teaser trailer should do, get you more interested in the subject than you previously were, which is something, John, you're the only Walking Dead fan here. You said the trailer for season 8 of The Walking Dead really did nothing to make you more excited about the show.
No. It did nothing. It's more of the same, and it's just like, all right, I'm going to sit through it again because...
Because you're 18.
Because I have to. Yeah. I'm knee deep in Walking Dead shit. And I need to just finish it out.
Can I say something? There was another trailer that kind of squeaked its way out. And it's a show that I don't know a ton about yet. It's Stargate Origins. They're trying to reboot the Stargate series.
Good.
And like, I know I'm going to watch it because I've sat through, again, like 500 freaking episodes of various Stargate shows and movies and spinoff TV movies. I'm going to sit through it. But man, I don't know how excited I am about it.
I mean, I gave up on The Walking Dead after the first season. I tried like 2 episodes of season 2, and I'm like, meh, screw that. And I sat here and watched it with John. And I honestly can say I'm really glad I gave up in season 2.
That you're not knee deep in Walking
so
Dead shit.
Stupid. Oh my god.
Back
it's
to
awful.
Back to Star Trek though.
Back to Star Trek.
No, because
am I digging on your show?
No, it's fine. But I wanted to. I don't know about this show, like, because they're the reason the new movies are or did so well is because people like Greg hated them. And because it's not original Star Trek. It's not, it doesn't have, you know, that feel to it.
I'm sorry that you're our only Trekkie friend, Greg.
I like Star Trek, but it does have that, I don't know,
it's got that insider vibe, man.
It's like for smarter people. Like, I don't really know what to say.
I like that. Wait, we both looked at Stacy when he said that. He said smarter people were both like, Stacy, now
it's
you.
Wait, are you insulting Greg? Or are you complimenting him?
It's a compliment. Both you and Greg are smarter than me and John.
It's a compliment. It's just, I just don't understand Star Trek. Like, I get Star Trek.
Right, that it's supposed to be a sci-fi show about science and not about fiction.
I like the fantasy aspect.
The plausibility of it is much greater than something like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up watching. This is real. Fuck you.
Oh, lightsabers are real.
Yeah.
It's real to me, damn it.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, no, I mean, speaking of Walking Dead, I'm going to butcher her name. Sinequa Martin Green. She was from The Walking Dead, and she's supposedly the star of this show. And I don't know. I mean, they're putting a female lead, which is great.
Couple of them.
But they're doing, I don't know. I feel like I like in Doctor Who, they're just doing it to be hot right now because it's the hot thing to do. Not saying it's bad. And don't get me wrong. Don't at me.
Don't get people. It twisted.
Don't get it twisted. It's not a bad thing, but it is the hot thing to do right now. And like you said about Doctor Who, why can't it just be a guy?
But why?
It doesn't need to be a woman, but it doesn't need to be a guy either.
I think what John's saying having a strong female lead is starting to be more trendy than plot focused.
I see. Well, that this isn't plot focused though?
I have no idea.
Doctor Who, I get. I mean, I'm on the side of why does it have to be a man? Why is it that women have to go and do stuff that men have done already?
Well, this isn't the first female feminism. Star Trek captain. That's the thing people are getting confused on.
No, it is not.
Star Trek has done this before. This isn't new ground for Star Trek.
So why can't it be a plot point? It very well may be.
If the woman being the captain is part of the plot point, we'll find out. And maybe that's part of the reason to watch Discovery. Who knows?
But I also don't think that people should... Yes, I get representation. I get that. But at the same time, I don't think that people should look to something like movies and fiction for role models. Like, I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, come on, like, we need to find real women role models, and it's hard. I get it.
But well, Stacy's here for you. You can look up to
I'm
her.
Here here's the premise of this show. Set roughly 10 years before the events of Star Trek, the OG series, the show sees the Klingon, not even going to say it, look to unite the 24 great Klingon houses, leading to a cold war between his race and the United Federation of Planets that involves the crew of the USS Discovery. So it doesn't seem like it's...
So it is the Rogue One to Star Trek.
Yeah, it seems like a Rogue, like a before to the original Kirk series is what I'm guessing.
I mean, I'd watch it. I grew up watching Star Trek with my mom. So I will probably watch this show.
I'll give it a shot.
So if it's awful, I'll let everybody know how terrible it is.
I'll give it a shot, but it's just, I don't know.
I'm running out of space on my TV calendar, man.
I know. It's going to be tough, but some of my favorite shows ended this year, so.
Well, there we go. Space is opening up on the Stacy calendar.
Theme of the day. On to the next one.
Something that won't be taking up space on my TV calendar, Marvel's Inhumans. It looks terrible.
Oh, what are they doing?
It looks like a B-rate production. And unless they're making a comedy and this is supposed to be like the Munsters or something, which they're not. They're taking it very seriously. This looks garbagey. I'm sorry, Marvel. This biz looks garbagey.
People have been bitching about it, too.
Yeah.
They're kind of irate about it.
Coming off of garbagey with Iron Fist, Marvel and Netflix team back up for The Defenders. Hell yes.
It looks wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, hell yes. And again, I think the interaction between our four heroes may be what redeems Danny Rand in the long run.
I agree.
Yeah, wasn't it like, weren't we talking about how people were calling him out on his shit? Like, that's not your chi. Like, Jessica Jones, like, say that in the trailer or whatever?
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Like, the fact that you now are going to have a world where people are questioning the bullshit Danny Rand is spewing is going to be great. The fact that you're going to have Jessica Jones and Luke Cage actually testing each other's strength somewhere besides the bedroom is going to be great. And you're going to have Matt Murdock trying to lead all of these assholes.
Good luck, man.
Good luck, dude.
How can he do it? He can't even see him.
I know. The blind leading the blind. It's a metaphor, motherfucker. This looks great. It looks incredible. I am super excited about it. Sigourney Weaver looks like a badass.
Yes. When does she not?
Brainwashed Electra looks terrifying. Like, this is, if you've read the comics, this looks like it is brought back from the dead, terrifying, scary ninja bitch Electra. So, she gonna murder people.
She's super creepy.
She's supposed to be. She's a, she's a brought back to life ninja.
Oh, man.
For the specific purposes of murdering fools.
So, yeah, the hand is gonna take a big part in this.
The hand is the lead villain.
Yeah, okay.
The hand is the lead here. And so a lot of the focus is going to be on characters from the Daredevil world. But as you hear Danny Rand saying in the trailer, they're coming after everyone. They're coming after our families, our friends. So I think you're going to see Colleen Wing get involved. I think you're going to see the Night Nurse get involved. And I think that we're definitely going to get to see the Punisher get involved. And that makes my man parts tingle.
Looks like he came just in time.
That's right. Frank Castle.
He showed up just in time. What is it? Hell.
Frank Castle. Respect. Anyways. Another TV show on the higher end, Westworld Season 2 trailer. It doesn't give you much other than reminding you how much you fucking loved Westworld.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. It's convoluted. If you haven't watched Westworld Season 1, get on that biz. Moving on to the other TV shows we're excited about. I don't want to dwell on a lot of these because, again, there's a lot to get to. Stranger Things Season 2, I think, won the TV trailer battle. I think it was hands down the best of the TV trailers by a mile and a half.
You put a Michael Jackson song in it, it's going to be the
best. You put that Michael Jackson song in there, everybody's going to love that shit.
I mean,
that's all it takes for you, yeah. Michael Jackson.
That's all it takes.
But it also does a lot to establish the plot, to establish that you're going to see characters return, how they're going to return, how they're going to matter, how they're going to move this world they've created forward with something besides nostalgia.
Yeah, you're definitely going back to the Upside Down.
Oh, yeah, in a big, terrifying way.
Eleven is coming back from the Upside Down.
Waffles!
It's going to be good. The Beast, whoever they have to fight, is 15, 20 times bigger than the Demogorgon, just seeing the shadow and the red.
I think it's the monster that they summoned in the last game that they played.
And that thing is huge. We're going to get huge.
Huge.
So, very exciting. October 27, Netflix.
That looks incredible. Of course, all the CW shows look like they'll keep being CW shows. Gotham will continue to Gotham. Somehow, Once Upon a Time is still on the air.
No,
I don't know how.
Back to Gotham, though, just for a second. Because
oh, my God.
No,
really?
But I haven't been watching it, but it has.
But I'm going to bitch about it anyway.
No, I'm not bitching about it. I'm saying it has. Look how much staying power it has. What, season 4?
People love any shit you put Batman's name on.
I'm just saying, even with no Batman.
They're supposed to have Batman this season.
Of course they're going to have Batman. They can't wait to have Batman. They need Batman. Save the ratings. Keep Batman. You get a show, Batman.
We got Ben McKenzie in there.
I said Batman this many times. This podcast is going to get so many more listens. Batman, Batman, Batman.
We should just name it Batman.
That's fine. San Diego Comic-Con trailer review, a.k.a. Batman, Batman, Batman.
Wow. Okay.
You got anything you want to gush about Lucifer?
Back?
Yeah.
Oh. Good to know.
I haven't seen the most recent one.
Wow. Cheating on your man.
I know. I feel bad because I really do like him.
Too many good-looking British guys.
Too many handsome British men.
Too many handsome British men. Too little time.
Anyways.
Oh, come on.
That's her basement. You guys are.
It is my basement. It's the equivalent of my man cave.
Why are you so gross? You have to get invited into Stacey's lady cave.
Yeah, you can't just walk in there all willy-nilly.
All willy-nilly.
Jump around all nimbly-bimbly.
So many other jokes. So many other jokes about Stacey's lady cave that I'm not going to make.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to make them.
Never going to allow my mom to listen to these.
Your mom should listen to these. Your mom would have so much more respect for you as a chick bro. Let's move into the movie trailers. One that John and I liked but were confused by, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh, you were confused by that piece of shit?
What is
whoa,
it mean?
Hey, whoa! Bite!
Oh, we got another Spider-Man on our hands.
No. I'm just saying, you put Finn in a giant robot, shit's gonna happen.
Right. So it's starring John Boyega. It's giant fucking robots. No. I'm excited about it regardless.
No, is this a man thing? Is this a man thing?
It's 100% a man thing.
It's not a man thing.
It's gotta be a man thing.
No, it's not a man thing. It is not a man.
I've had this argument with multiple other men, but the other females I've talked to.
Did you see the first Pacific Rim?
I did.
What did you think?
Hate.
I thought it was stupid.
You're stupid, and you should leave. You're stupid.
Really?
And I hate your
this
face.
We've regressed into name calling.
Hold on. It's giant fucking robots fighting giant fucking monsters.
Is it though? Because the trailer led to nothing about monsters.
No.
It looks like single Jaegers fighting other single Jaegers.
But how is that not badass?
I'm not saying it's not going to be badass, but how are you going to name this Pacific Rim 2 Uprising when there's no monsters? Are there monsters?
I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. Maybe there are monsters. Maybe they're not. Maybe we're the monsters as humans.
Does Charlie Day come back?
Charlie Day never left.
I know.
Charlie Day better be in this fucking movie. Pacific Rim Uprising a little ways away. Lego Ninjago still looks hilarious. No giant updates there. I mean, come on. It's Lego Ninjago. Let's talk about one that let us down a little bit. Let's talk about Justice League.
Wah, wah. Were we let down or were our expectations just slightly high for what it should have been?
You mean our expectations of a movie?
Okay, I don't think it looks bad. I don't think it looks bad. I think it looks fake.
Right, and given the advancements in, you know, CGI.
You mean you don't dig on a CGI'd mustache?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you're this deep into production and you're doing reshoots in July.
Reshoots that last how much longer than they're supposed to?
I think they're technically, but maybe not. But this movie comes out in like 4 months. Five months?
Yeah, it's not coming out.
November?
I don't think it comes out.
It has to be delayed. Joss Whedon is going to look at it and be like, this sucks.
This is a
shit pile.
We
can't put this out.
Well, he basically tried to step in and salvage it, right?
He was called in after the tragic events with Zack Snyder's family, but has basically gone in and said, there's a lot that has to be fixed here, you guys.
Yikes.
And he's the guy who made the Avengers. I mean, you kind of got to trust him. He kind of did this first and best.
The Avengers was the best movie of that year.
It was.
Now,
it should have won the fucking Oscar.
Barring the movie that won the Oscar.
No. Hang on.
It was the best movie, but it didn't win the best nominated movie.
But that goes to say Dark Knight wasn't nominated for Best Picture either, and that should have won hands down.
You cannot say that nominations mean hardly anything, because clearly somebody didn't get a big bag of money shoved up their ass to get it nominated. Because that's what it's about, is money. I know you don't like to hear that, but just because something wins, usually that only means that they're the ones who spent the most money.
I don't know. Didn't Slumdog Millionaire win? I don't think somebody put a bunch of money to them and said, hey, make this movie win. I think that movie was just good.
Yeah.
But you can't say that nobody greased some palms.
I'm saying that the reason Dark Knight wasn't in there was probably because money. But Avengers was after that, and it should have been nominated because they have, 10 movies now that go in for Best Picture?
I have no idea.
I think it's, up to 10 that can be nominated. And that was the reason why Dark Knight didn't get nominated,
which blows my mind.
In 2012, do you want to know what won Best Film?
Yeah.
The Artist.
Oh.
It was
that black and white movie.
Yeah. Do you know what else was nominated that year? War Horse, Moneyball, The Descendants, The Tree of Life, Midnight in Paris, The Help, Hugo, and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. None of those movies are better than The Avengers. None of them. None of them, none of them, none of them.
I haven't even heard of half of them.
None of them, none of them, none of them.
War Horse was the only one that I really know, is because it's Spielberg.
I know The Help.
And I know The Help. That was the
I know Hugo. I actually liked Hugo a lot, but I didn't think it was Oscar
worthy. Was that an animated movie?
No, it was a kid's movie.
Moneyball was really good, but it's definitely not Best Picture worthy.
Right.
For sure.
Like,
didn't Jonah Hill win an Oscar for that movie? Let's not get into it.
Yeah, let's not get that deep into this. I don't have that kind of time.
Let's stay away from how's this? Meta here.
The original song that year was from The Muppets. The song was titled Man or Muppet.
2012 was a bad year for movies, and that's why The Avengers should have won, because that
Real
was incredible.
Real Steel was nominated for an Oscar.
What?
Yeah, that year. Real Steel.
Wow.
Anyways.
All right. See? Money!
So, anyways.
He was nominated. Anyway.
Anyways, Joss Whedon will be trying to fix Justice League probably up until the 5 minutes before it comes out.
And let's hope that he does.
So there's one that was a bit of a letdown in the movie trailer category. One that I'm finding more people didn't get into as excited about as I did was the trailer for Ready Player One, which is based on Ernest Cline's popular book. It's being directed by Steven Spielberg. And it just looks visually incredible.
Screenplay by the book writer as well.
That makes me so happy. And thank you for bringing that up, John. Is Ernest Cline helped write the screenplay for the movie based on his book. So you know, if you're a fan of the book, they're not going to veer too far off from what you want.
We hope, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta hope they're gonna stay true to it because, again, it's the man who wrote the book writing the movie.
Yeah.
And it's Spielberg. I mean, come on. It's Spielberg, right?
I feel like when you guys say that to me, it's supposed to mean something. And I don't understand. You're like, it's Spielberg. I'm like, does that mean it's supposed to be good?
Spielberg.
It's like
Indiana
the best
Jones, E.T., freaking War Horse, all the, basically the 90s. Like,
Steven Spielberg is responsible for the 90s.
List, okay? Jesus. Let me just run through the Spielbergian list of hits. E.T., Jaws, Schindler's List, Close Encounters, Saving Private Ryan, okay? Minority Report was also a Spielberg produced.
I did really enjoy that.
Minority Report is...
That's a great
Hook
movie.
Hook was Spielberg. Munich was Spielberg. Color Purple, Spielberg. War Horse, The Regrettable Adventures of Tintin. Amistad was Spielberg. The Terminal, Spielberg. Jurassic Park, Spielberg.
Okay, I get it. You can
like
stop
I said,
now.
90s. 99, Best Director, winner. Best Picture, 94, Schindler's List, winner. Best Director, Schindler's List, winner. Like, it goes on.
But here's the problem, though.
He hasn't had anything recent that has been, like, punch you in the mouth.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Right.
Like, War Horse, it was nominated. Was it a great movie? Some would say yes, some would say no. I think this might bring him back.
Made fucking Goonies. He was never gone. Goonies never die, John.
I mean, you're not...
Wait, is it they never die or they never say die?
I don't know.
Goonies never say die.
Oh, shit.
I only know that because it's a Dirty Head song. If y'all don't know who that is, you should look it up.
Fair enough. All right. Anyways, moving on. Ready Player One had me all kinds of excited. The one that universally got people excited was Thor Ragnarok. This movie, I was ready to be totally disappointed by.
Why?
But even Uproxx.com named it their number one trailer to come out of San Diego Comic-Con.
Why were you ready to be disappointed?
Because all the other Thor movies have been disappointments.
Yeah.
Well, come on, let's be real here.
Hey, I mean, first
I'm not
one
saying
without
he's
Natalie
my
Portman?
Favorite Chris, but...
First good movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
Wow.
Throwing it
Bows
out there.
Have been thrown. Throwing oh, man. Look, this looks...
You look so smug right now.
He should be. This looks fun. Oh my god, this looks fun. Hulk fighting a giant wolf. Hulk fighting Thor.
Cate Blanchett. Ah!
Hulk like raging fire. Whatever he says.
Now, and it's really funny, Mark Ruffalo was actually at the panel at Comic-Con and offered a little more explanation than he probably should have. About why Hulk is speaking like a 2-year-old. But I don't want to spoiler it for anybody else who didn't accidentally read about that.
Well, isn't it? I'm not. No.
We'll discuss it later.
Okay.
We'll discuss it later. John, did you hear me?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. what was the thing that got you going the most about this trailer? Like, what was the moment where you were like, shit, yeah, I need this in my life?
It's Hela. 100% it's Hela.
I'll say again, Kate Blanchett.
Dude, she's B.A.
She is a badass. I was going to say, you can't just throw out
a name. This is a podcast. You have to, like, talk about why it made your lady bits all jumpy.
A badass. She broke Thor's hammer. And then she's got, like, the freaking, like, headdress thing. Oh, she's so cool. I know she's, like, terrible and the god of death or whatever, right? Goddess of death. She's so badass.
She's not death. She's the goddess of death or god of death or whatever.
She's, like, creepy but, like, mysterious and sexy and, like, I'm going to murder you.
Is that that, like, real-world female role model you've been looking for, Stacey?
Yes.
And here, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but here's my tie-in right here.
Hot take?
Hot take, maybe. So, Hela dies in this movie, is what I'm going to say. Or, you know, wherever she goes, if goddesses die, gods die, whatever. By the hands of Thor, which gets Thanos real, real upset. Because why? Because he's in love with Hela. And now she's dead. In which case, ties the movies, because now he wants to come to Earth to kill everybody because of it.
Ooh.
Interesting. Oh,
that is interesting. I do like that. I am interested in those words you are saying, John.
I can dig on that.
Possible. Plausible. And on that note, the tie-in, which is the you want to talk about Avengers? Maybe a little.
Look at how happy he was that he made a transition.
The tie-in.
Look at the transition. Look at him go.
I think you ruined it by acknowledging it.
You
John.
Did. You got a little...
because it's my first one.
Your
now they're all smooth sailing from here on out.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how that works.
Premature transitulation. I just want to say the scene of Loki and Thor firing guns into a sea of bad guys.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, Tom Hiddlesploosh. Anyways. Avengers Infinity War. There was footage shown that apparently was some of the same footage that was shown at the D23 Expo in mid-July. But this was shown to a much larger audience, and in this case, started to leak out onto the internet. Now, I saw some very crappy recordings of it, and then they got pulled from the internet, which is why we didn't post any, because we don't want to get sued by Disney.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yet. but the footage looked incredible. It involved Thor meeting up with the Guardians of the Galaxy, saying we have to get to Earth. You know, all sexy and shirtless and Australian.
Bye. Hitting their windshield in space.
Like a big sexy bug.
Like a big sexy Thor bug hitting the Milano, like, huh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
Wait, how did that go?
Like, Anyways, we'll fix that in post.
No, we're not.
We're not going to, no.
Do we ever? Do we ever fix it in post?
The thing that's most clear, though, from all of this is that they're fully empowering Thanos to be the baddest motherfucker you've ever seen. Like, I've been dealing with multiple people for days since this footage leaked onto the internet, trying to speculate how many Avengers Thanos is going to kill. Because he's going to kill at least one or two Avengers. At least one or two people die in Infinity War. Mark my words now, because Thanos is a full-on Infinity Gauntlet-wielding badass son of a bitch. You see all these shots that make you so sure that someone is dying in this fucking movie. Like, and it's someone big. So...
We better not be like War Machine or something. Like.
No, I mean, yeah, no. I don't think they're gonna kill off a side character.
He said someone big.
Right. I think it's one of the big three. I think it's one of the big three dies in Infinity War.
We got Thor, Captain, Iron Man.
I wouldn't be surprised if Thor dies because of the whole if the Hela thing comes to fruition.
Right, he'll be the one who killed Hela, and Thanos will want to start with him.
Yeah.
Plus, Thor is a god. He can regenerate in a different form, and that's how you explain a new actor. Bing, bang, boom. Marvel saves, $30 million per movie.
Yep. Jesus.
Yeah. It's that easy. When you have something like the Infinity Gauntlet, which can basically reset reality, Marvel can just keep printing money.
Well, you wanted to say that, too. You wanted to talk how much of this movie is going to be real because, right, because of that fact.
A lot of, and how much of the footage we saw is quote-unquote real, and how much of it is Thanos altering, augmenting reality of the people around them, so showing them terrible nightmares. I mean, you remember what Tony saw with little bits of the Tesseract seeping into his brain? There's going to be parts where you're going to wonder, oh shit, is this reality or is this Thanos messing with everyone again? So it's going to be a great film. I'm really, really excited about it. Couple other movie trailers that kind of snuck out. One was definitely Kingsman: The Golden Circle releasing a Red Band trailer. I was super excited about that.
I like the fight scenes from that movie.
The fight scenes look like they're going to rival anything they did in the first Kingsman, and the first Kingsman was badass. I'm excited about it. I think the plot doesn't matter because it's a Kingsman movie.
Yeah.
You just want to watch people die.
I do like the whole Statesman thing. That's Statesman. Like, yeah, doing the American version of it or whatever.
Right. Cool. Oh, yeah.
Jeff Bridges, Channing Tatum.
I mean, what's more American than Channing Tatum?
That's true.
By the way, did you love, he admitted during the panel that he begged for a role in that movie.
Really?
Yeah, he said, I loved the first one so much. I heard they were making a second, and I basically called my agent and said, pester them until they put me in this movie.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. Again, a lot of great stuff coming out from San Diego Comic-Con. We'll have a link in the description with the podcast so that you can click around and check out some of these trailers for yourself. Next week, Gavin from Tardy's Collector's Corner, who was at San Diego Comic-Con, will join us. We'll talk about how much stuff John and I are going to buy off of him, how much of our money he'll be taking, plus his experiences at San Diego Comic-Con, what the floor was like, what people were talking about, and what we haven't heard about yet, because I think Gavin's got some juicy details from those retailers' meetings that we don't know about.
The deeds.
The details, all right, if you will. But once again, we are the Court of Nerds, the podcast brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic-Con, October 20th through the 22nd, at the DeVos and the Amway Grand. Get your tickets online at grcomiccon.com, like them on Facebook, and follow them on Twitter to keep up with all of the latest news you need to know. But for now, all you need to know is I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
And I'm John.
And we are your Court of Nerds.
Hey, I'm Ben with the Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook, we're the Court of Nerds, on Twitter at court_of_nerds, and our website, thecourtofnerds.com.